Gracious God, we humbly thank you for this opportunity to praise and worship you, and we thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to give back to you a portion of what you have blessed us with. We thank you for these tithes and offerings. We pray that you would just use them and multiply them, use them to expand your holy kingdom, that we might truly continue to serve you and worship you each and every day of our life. We commit the rest of this service into your care, and Father, I especially pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In the holy name of Christ our King, we pray. Amen. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry, especially for you. It is good to be back with everyone, and this morning we're continuing our series titled Life with One Another. And I'm going to try to, you know, do a shortened version. We're already about 15 minutes of, and I want to be timely and, you know, understanding with everybody's time here. Back in the days when kids traveled on trains to get somewhere with their parents, they didn't charge for kids that were five or under. And so the six-year-old young man, he was told by his mother as they were carrying their bags to the train, "Tell them you're five." The little boy frowned and he got on the train and sat down. And the conductor came by and said, "How old are you, son?" And he says, five. So he didn't pay anything. His mother paid her fare, and the conductor had left. The conductor came back a couple hours later just to talk with this young man. He rubbed his hand in the little fellow's hair and said, "Well, how are you getting along?" The boy answered, "Really good." The conductor continued their chat and said, "Let's see, when are you going to be six?" And the little boy said, "About the time I get off this train, I'm going to be six." You know, it's funny. You know, we can laugh at that. But you know, to tell the truth, our world seems like, you know, telling the truth in our world seems like a lost art, doesn't it? You know, doesn't it feel like our world is full of the politicians and governments and organizations, businesses and economies and social orders and even treaties that have been made? And you know what? They've all been based upon lies and deception. And it shouldn't surprise any single one of us. As we know, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, is the father of all lies. And friends, the devil is the accuser of the believers in Christ. We can even trace back to Genesis 3, the first deception, how the devil perverted the truth of God's word in deception. You know, I think of people like Bernie Madoff with the Ponzi schemes and how they yearn to just throw this superficial front for everybody to believe that something is something else other than what it really is. And when you start to peel back the layers, there's no truth in it. There's no truth about it. I want us to understand that lying here in our text this morning, we're going to speak about what it means to speak with one another. I want us to understand that lying includes much more than simply telling something that is false. It includes exaggeration and adding falsehood to that which starts as true. Cheating in school and on income taxes are also forms of lying. We could include making foolish promises or betraying a confidence, flattery, and making excuses as all forms of lying. You see, when we begin to see what lying really is and what our world is based upon, we really can begin to see the problem. And the problem is that much of our world is based upon creating this superficial image for others to see. And it matters not if that image is of an individual or a corporation or even a government. The intention is to deceive others into thinking reality is actually something than what it actually is. The Apostle Paul, he speaks to believers' responsibility in regards to lying and deceit in our text this morning. I want us to understand that the Apostle is writing to the church at Ephesus. We could look at Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and we would see Jesus' letter to this church. And he says to this church at Ephesus that you have done all these great things, and these things I have credited to you, but this one thing I have against you, and this one thing that he had against them was they had lost their first love. You see, the church at Ephesus had lost their first love, and that's why the Apostle Paul was seeking to write this church, to rectify, to correct that issue, to correct that wrong, to correct that superficial image of doing this and doing that and going here and going that, and in all reality, they had lost their motivation. They had lost their reason. for why they were serving, who they were serving. It stemmed from not a love of Christ, but it stemmed from a yearning to create this superficial image. This is a situation the Apostle Paul was speaking to and seeking to correct. Paul is trying to get this church to come to the truth, to not deceive others by what is being done, but to be about the truth. Our text this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 20 through 25. And if you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, turn to Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 25. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now listen to verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. I believe there's three things that we can learn from this one verse, verse 25. And first, that speaking truth to one another is foundational to the building of the body of Christ. Without truth, there will never be any building of the church. Without truth, there will never be any growth. Without truth being spoken, there will never be any unity. And without truth, there will never be any health within the church. There will never be any love. I want to remind all of us of the encounter that Jesus had with the rich man. Listen to the account from the Gospel of Mark. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before Jesus. And this man asked him, he said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Now listen to this verse, verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, he loved him, and then he spoke to him and said, did you hear that? Jesus, looking at him, and he loved him, and then he spoke. He said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Sometimes I think we don't equate the fact of love and speaking truth with one another. We equate not speaking truth with actually loving people, and quite frankly, friends, that is wrong. Jesus looked at this man, and we could read on, and we would find out that he went away sad because he had many possessions, and he wasn't willing to give up those things that God was saying, give this up, come back to your first love. Friends, if we were going to be a church based upon truth, we must speak the truth in love. And Jesus loved this man enough to tell him the truth. And that is what the Scripture says. Then Jesus, looking at him, he loved him, and then he spoke. You see, many times our mouths go before our heart. Our mouths speak things before our heart catches up. You know, it's been said that when we're born with our mouth open and our eyes closed, and we spend the rest of our life trying to reverse that. We're trying to close our mouths and put our eyes open, and that's reality. You know, because our heart never gets caught up to where our mouth is. We want to speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. And the motivation for why we speak, it's never connected many times to the love that we have with other people. And friends, that is foundational for building the body of Christ, the church, the bride of Christ, Trinity United Methodist Church, and all the other churches that are the bride of Jesus Christ. You see, this man, we're told, went away sad, as I mentioned, because he decided not to follow Jesus. The fact remains that Jesus told him the hard truth, and because of this, we know that Christ loved him. You see, what's at stake here is the building up of the body of Christ, which is the church. You see, the only way the body of Christ, the believers, brothers and sisters in the faith of Jesus Christ, will ever be built up is when truth abounds. Friends, this is foundational, it's essential, it's absolutely critical for the building of the body of Christ. the Apostle Paul spoke at earlier in the same chapter of Ephesians, in verses 15 and 16, of two essentials that are needed to build the body of Christ. Listen to verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Part of the elements which are required for the body of Christ to grow is an environment of love and truth. Those two elements must be present. You see, speaking to one another is not just simply speaking to each other, but it's a building activity, and I want us to hear that. When we speak to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're either doing one of two things. We're either edifying and building them up, or we're tearing them down. And friends, if we're going to build each other up and speak truth into their life and edify their heart and soul and mind, it must be latent with love and filled with truth, all the speech that comes out of our mouth. You see, the result will always be a group of believers, which is the church that is strong in Christ and that radiates a love that is from eternity. And I'm going to say that again. The result will always be a group of believers that is strong in Christ as their Lord and Savior, but it doesn't just stop there. It radiates a love that comes from eternity. And that love comes from God. It comes from the Lord. I want us to notice the connection between love and speaking truth. If we love others, we will speak truth. If we fail to love others, then we will mask the truth and we'll be like the world. And there is and there has always been much made and spoken about love within each church. It seems time and time again you hear messages over and over and over about love. Very rarely do I ever hear a message about truth. And truth is so essential, it's so vital that we need to hear about it. And we could look at John chapter 4, verse 24, where God, Jesus, says, you must worship in spirit and in truth. God the Father is called the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You see, when we compromise truth, we've compromised it all. We've compromised everything, and we wander away from the true components of the faith. And so it's vital that we continue to grow with one another as we speak truth to one another in love and out of love for each other. And I'll emphasize that again. If you and I are going to continue to grow as Trinity United Methodist Church, it's essential that we grow by speaking truth, one with each other, in love and out of love for each other. Secondly, from this verse, we can learn from verse 25 that speaking truth is a mutual endeavor. If you've got your Bibles, I would just tell you to circle the four-letter word with. You see, it's imperative that we understand this. The Apostle Paul said, you speak with one another. He didn't say you speak to one another. Now, one thing that I want to make clear is that I don't want anybody to be on a crusade or to be on this bandwagon that, hey, I've got to speak truth to all these people and I got to correct all their wrongs and I got to pick out the speck out of their own eye. No, the Apostle Paul is saying you speak with one another. When we choose to speak truth, we are choosing to open ourselves up to receive truth being spoken to us. It's a mutual endeavor. It's not a unilateral endeavor. If I am going to speak truth into the life of someone else, then I am really saying that I am willing to allow that person to speak truth into my life. It's a mutual thing. We need to grasp that. There is no one here within the body of this believers, this group, this church that is greater than any other. We are all on this journey together. We are all in this relationship with Christ together. We all need each other. And yes, there may be times where people might have to speak truth into my life. There may be times that I might have to speak truth into their life. But it's that mutual aspect of it. We're saying we're in this together, and I am speaking this to you because I love you, I care about you, and I am allowing you to speak truth into my life out of love. And so therefore, it's that mutual aspect of it, and we must not miss that. Far too often, I can share with you that I've seen Christians derail the faith of other Christians because they felt like it was their duty, it was their agenda to correct what was wrong in their brother or sister. And friends, if we go there, we've missed it. We're not operating out of love. We're operating out of a judgment seat. We're operating out of a better than mentality. And so we must be in this in a mutual relationship with Christ. And lastly, speaking truth will always be unifying. And I'm not sure that you're aware, and I've already alluded to some of this a little bit earlier, but I'm not sure that you're aware, but the Scriptures speak of God the Father as being the God of truth. As I mentioned, Jesus called himself, and time again, the Scriptures attest that he, meaning Christ, is truth, and the Holy Spirit is referenced as the Spirit of truth. The reality will always be that when we speak truth to one another, we will be unified because we will be aligning ourselves with the kingdom of God. Hear that. When we speak truth, we align ourselves with God's kingdom. And friends, God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Everything about the Lord's kingdom is based upon truth, and truth about the desperate condition of people and their sinfulness, and truth about the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me, truth about God's character as being a good God, and truth about the requirements for worshiping the Lord. And as I mentioned, there are requirements to worship God properly, namely to worship in spirit and in truth. Truth about God's desires for you and for me. And the list could go on and on. You see, God's power is in the truth. And I'm going to say that again. God's power is in the truth. We could look at Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he responded by correcting the devil with the truth of God's word. God's power is in the truth. When we choose to walk in the truth as Jesus is truth, we align ourselves with him, with Christ, and we begin to build the body of believers. We open ourselves for the mutual speaking of truth into our lives and the lives of others. And lastly, speaking truth will always unite us as we will be aligning ourselves with the power of the kingdom of heaven, the power of the God of truth, our heavenly Father, the power of Christ, the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I just want to encourage everyone here this morning. You see, the truth of the matter is that you and I, we have a wonderful privilege. We have a wonderful opportunity this day. As I mentioned earlier, there's nobody that has lived before, nor nobody that will live ever again that has been blessed with this day. That God has said to you, and he said to me, and he said to nobody else except the other believers walking the face of this earth, that I want you to walk through this day and to walk with me. That's the truth of it, friends. The truth of the matter is that's a wonderful opportunity to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. The truth of the matter is that's a privilege to be those agents of grace into the hearts and souls and lives of those people that God puts in your path and mine. That's a privilege. Nobody else has that opportunity except you and me. Other Christians, yes, but those individuals that come across your path, I guarantee you that God has foreordained those individuals to come across your path and nobody else's path. Because he wants you and he wants me and he wants all of us believers to reach and meet the needs and those individuals that come across our path, to speak words of truth, life-giving truth, into their hearts, minds, and souls. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That gives me a sense of purpose. That gives me a sense of reason as to what this day should be about. It shouldn't be about me and just going through the motions. It should be a day full of excitement and encouragement to say, you know what, I get to walk with the risen Christ today. I get to walk with the living Lord today. Nobody else except you and me have that wonderful opportunity. My challenge to you and to me this day is to not go through this life as ho-hum, woe is me. My challenge to you is to be excited, to get fired up, and to look at the opportunity that Christ has given to you and what he's given to me, the opportunity to serve him, to love him, to speak words of life-giving truth, the rivers of flowing water And Jesus said he is the living water into those people that God brings across your path. What an incredible, incredible opportunity. What an awesome privilege that is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the eternal I Am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. How incredible. The one who inhabits eternity. I don't know about you. I could go on. I could go on and on and on and on. Because you know what? The God that I serve, the Savior that I honor, the one that I yearn to seek each and every day is the one who has called you and he's called me to not be a part of this world, to be a part of being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And how we do that, friends, is we speak truth in love, one with each other. And our motivation is the love that we have for our Savior Jesus. And may we be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And may we speak words of truth as we follow our Savior who is truth. Let us pray. Gracious God, we humbly thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your peace and we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've blessed us with. We thank you for this privilege and this opportunity and this wonderful grace that you've given to all of us, the opportunity to walk with you, to be witnesses for you, to share your good news with others, and to speak words of life-giving truth into the hearts and souls of other people. Father, we pray you would give us your eyes to see what we need to see, and may we be motivated, and may you fill our hearts with love that saturate our very being and overflows into those that we speak with. Father, we pray that you would keep us close, but more importantly, Jesus, we pray that we would keep you closer, that we would chase after you, we would seek you, we would be increasing in love for you and one another. We bless you, Jesus, and we thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and for your peace. We lift this to you in the wonderful and gracious name of Christ our King, we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, may the God of all truth, may he fill you with his truth and his love and his peace, and may he keep you and sanctify you by his truth, which is his word. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you depart in peace and be close to the truth. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, may you be blessed. Amen.